We want to kind of get into the under the hood of understanding what the blockchain is. It's so mind-bendingly difficult to get our heads around, and I'm right there with you. So tonight we're going to be speaking with Robert Koenig, who is the global monetary expert and founder and CEO for Zentavo. Robert, it's so good to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much. The honor is mine.
Cheers.
It's great being here.
And we wanted to have you on the show because there's this thing that's been happening in the financial sector over the past few years that for us lay people is kind of hard to get our minds around. It's hard to understand, to grasp the concepts. And we're really looking forward to just having this discussion with you to learn about things like cryptocurrency and the blockchain. Can you just tell us a little bit about what it is that you do?
Yes, I'm now 2 years working in this industry, the cryptocurrency industry, and it's like everybody else got hooked up on it through the press. At that time, I don't know if it was Mt. Gox or the big scandal with the drugs that was going through the press, but at least that got me interested in blockchain technology. And since then, I'm totally hooked.
Awesome.
So it's a great technology. It's something new. And it's future. I mean, it's definitely future. So that's what I'm doing for now over 2 years. I'm a consultant in this business, and I'm coming more from the application side. So I'm not a technical person as such. I know my way around that a little bit, but the strength is clearly on the application side.
And that's great, because I think that in the industry there are a lot of very technical individuals, and the folks that are explaining blockchain and explaining how things work to the media are very technically minded, and so the focus seems to be on the technology end in such a way that it's really tough to get our heads around, Robert, to be honest with you. So you speak of the blockchain.
Not only you.
Yeah. You speak of the blockchain, and right now that's a buzzword. It's something that we're hearing it all the time, but not a lot of us have our heads around what the blockchain actually is. Can you shed some light on that, just knowing that, hey, we don't want that technical explanation. We want to kind of understand from a layperson's perspective what the blockchain represents.
Yes. And it's nothing new, basically. What you do is, like, if I would send you, if I've got $10 and I send you $5, then both of us will write it down on a piece of paper, and that way you create a ledger. It's like bookkeeping. And now if you want to do it on a big scale and want to have it secure so that other people cannot change it, what you do then is you link these transactions together. So if I give you $5 and you give $5 to John, then suddenly I've got one transaction, which is the $5 in my book that I wrote down, and then I've got the $2 that you forwarded to John also in the book. And so I know it every time what the current state is, the balance is. It's basic bookkeeping, with the difference is that there are around 11th, in the case of Bitcoin, there are 11,000 bookkeepers or notaries that making sure that everything is working smooth. And that's the potential of the blockchain technology. So it's just lining up different transactions like a pearl, mm-hmm. and calling that into a chain and linking that together, and that's called the blockchain.
So is
there's another word for it, which is decentralized ledger technology, DLT.
Oh, okay.
But it's bookkeeping.
So if I follow you correctly, the underlying technology of cryptocurrency, the blockchain, is really just a ledgering system, a way of tracking the transactions within the currencies. Is that?
That's exactly it. And the difficulty comes from a few different angles. One is, how do I make this secure? I mean, in a world where we've got thousands of hackers that constantly hack into computers, how do I make sure that nobody can really hack the system? Mm. And that makes it then very technical and very difficult, but the principle is still the same. It's a ledger where you write down transactions and you make many copies of it.
Okay. So how does the blockchain generate money or create currency? Because people are, we hear about people mining things like Bitcoin or Monero, and we'll talk a little bit about the difference between those. But how does money come out of thin air and become part of the blockchain?
Yeah, where we have to be careful is with its cryptocurrencies are not money.
Okay.
Yeah, they might become money if you use it in as a fiat currency. So in other words, if we would start using a Canadian dollar on a blockchain, that would be money. Otherwise, it's categorized as a commodity or as a cryptocurrency. And the value comes through communication. It's simple. If I would create a coin, or if you would create a coin, let's say there is a Category 5 coin that comes into practice for all the fans that you have, then that creates value, and that value represents some monetary value if you exchange it against, let's say, euros or Canadian dollars. So that's where the link is coming from. But at the end, it's just a basic way of communicating.
So is there a purpose in the blockchain beyond just tracking currency?
That is, from my point of view, it's a side effect. Yeah, there are, I mean, the grandfather is Bitcoin. Bitcoin was created in 2009.
Yeah.
It hasn't been hacked once, so it's running stable since then.
Wow.
But there are over 1,500 different currencies also in the market. And the currency is just a side effect. That's where all the hype is also coming from in the press of the volatility and the value against some sort of fiat currency. But the strength of a blockchain is that the big innovation is the trust side, not the currency side. Yeah, I can send you 5 bitcoins, and you know that if you receive them in your wallet, and we'll come back to that, what a wallet is. But if you receive them, you know that you have them. You have got possession of them,
right,
and nobody can take that away from you. They are yours until you open the wallet and you transfer the 5 Bitcoin to somebody else. So that is the strength.
Can I just back up here for a moment, Robert, and just, there are a lot of people who heard you say, you are transferring 5 Bitcoin to my wallet.
That was an example.
Oh, come on. You can't blame a guy for trying. You mentioned that the blockchain or Bitcoin hasn't been hacked, but we do hear about hack attacks on different cryptocurrency storage platforms and things like that. And we do hear about the theft of cryptocurrency. So is there a big disconnect between those hack attacks and the actual technology?
Well, it's the wild west. This cryptocurrency is the wild west. And the problem is not the blockchain as such. The blockchain, whether we're talking Ethereum, Litecoin, or the big ones, they're all safe. Nothing can happen to them because you've got so many miners or people that are responsible for keeping it safe. Yeah, so it would be very expensive to hack those. The problems are all coming from the user interface. Yeah, so when you as a user go onto a website to log in to an exchange to buy bitcoins with Canadian dollars, that is where the difficulty comes from. It's a new industry. There are not many developers that know this language. So there was one case in October last year where a learning experience pressed the wrong button, and with that wrong button, it killed $150 million.
No.
So those are the things that is more on the periphery rather than the blockchain. It's the Wild West. Those things will change over time. So they're getting more secure, and people see also where the hackers are going to. So the security, if you, for example, sign up to any of those big exchanges, let's take Coinbase as an example. There are many others. Then it is really difficult to open an account because they have got a long procedure to make sure that it's really you and that you cannot be hacked, that the money that you transfer in is serious. All those things, that's something that they learned over a long period of time. And all the exchanges are similar. So there are multiple passwords that you have to enter. There are securities with email and so on. It's just because the user interface is where the weak side is in cryptocurrency.
Okay.
It's not the blockchain. The blockchain is running smooth and safe, there is the at least of the big ones.
As I think about, you mentioned Coinbase and the exchanges, which is basically where I could store my currency and my cryptocurrency, and then convert it to other cryptocurrencies or even fiat, U.S. dollars, for example. By placing our cryptocurrency into those sites, into those services, we're kind of, are we not centralizing our cryptocurrency? And I'd like to talk about decentralization and learn a little bit about why that's important.
Well, let's go a step back, because you said something that was interesting. Is all cryptocurrencies are the same. You have got a private key and you've got a public key. The public key is like a normal account number. Yeah, if you've got a bank account at the Nova Scotia or HSBC, you've got a bank account number. It's similar to a account number in Bitcoin. But to the possession of a Bitcoin or Ethereum or Litecoin, you only have if you've got this famous private key. And the private key is like the signature that you deposit at the bank. So if you write a check, you have got a signature on that check that identifies that this check is coming from you.
Okay.
And in cryptocurrency, that's the private key. Now, one really important rule is that the Bitcoin or Litecoin or any other currency, if you don't have possession of the private key, it's not yours. Yeah. So in the case of many exchanges, Coinbase is one of them, you do not get the private key. So they hold the private key for you. You've got the public key, but the private key they hold. So in theory, the money or the Bitcoin is not yours. And why is that important? There's a huge case called Mt. Gox. It was the number one exchange a few years ago. And that exchange went bankrupt from one day to another.
Wow.
And because people had not possession of their private keys, they lost everything. And there has been now a lawsuit of many years on how to get the money back. Because they know where the Bitcoins are. They got possession of most of them already, and they're discussing now how to get it back. But that's beside it. The important thing is when you deal with cryptocurrencies, it's the most important thing is be careful that you have got this private key. So what does that mean in regards to Coinbase? Coinbase will not give you the private key. They keep it for themselves. Therefore, you're vulnerable you don't have possession of your Bitcoin or Litecoin or Ethereum or whatever it is. So there are wallets, so-called wallets, available in the market. And some are based on a computer or on the cell phone where you have got possession of the private key. Mm-hmm. There are also hardware wallets that look like USB sticks or little pieces of hardware where you have got your Bitcoin then secured again because you are in possession of the private key. So private key is absolute key. Otherwise, the money is not yours. The currency is not yours. Now, if you want to exchange cryptocurrency for dollars or the other way around, you want to buy cryptocurrency, you have to go through these exchanges. And there are not many because banks don't like cryptocurrency at the moment yet. That will change, I'm pretty sure. The moment they don't like money, and therefore there are not many exchanges that allow you to buy with fiat money cryptocurrency. Coinbase is the number one. They're insured. They're really good in what they're doing. And there you can buy then your Bitcoin with money. Then there are other exchanges that don't offer fiat or currency. So you cannot use your US dollar, Canadian dollar, or euro. You cannot use it there. You can only use cryptocurrency. So it's like an exchange. I exchange you one Bitcoin for 10 Litecoins or whatever. Sure. So there are several exchanges of those. These are currently all centralized. So there is a company that you can call when something happened or at least you get some sort of support. Mm-hmm. The other exchanges, and they will be bigger and bigger over the future, that are decentralized. So it's basically only software handling all the transactions, everything that is happening. And they will also, they're starting, I mean, there's one that is currently in development, it's called Ethos, that will incorporate also fiat currencies and other currencies within the software package. But those are decentralized. That means that there's nobody really responsible. So you can't call anybody and say, hey, I lost this wire transfer. Can you help me? It's based on programs.
So therefore, very anonymous,
I
would
presume. Explanation. Sorry about that.
Very anonymous, I would presume, in this case, too, with the decentralization.
I would be careful with that. anonymity is something that everybody talks about and says that it is a strength of the cryptocurrency. That's not the case, because you have got this famous blockchain. Yep. I can look back on who did the first transaction. Now, it's true. I only see account numbers. I don't see names.
Right.
But if I would be a government, I can find out easily who the owner through an exchange, for example, who the owner is. So you don't get much. I would be careful with transparency.
Okay. And we've had that. We have had that discussion on the show where we've talked about how governments say, we don't keep track of who the person on the video is, but they can make connections and say, we connect this phone number to this person and we connect this wallet address to this person, and so all of a sudden we can track. And I know that to be true because I've received Bitcoin transactions from other people. Now that I know their Bitcoin address, I can see their wallet balance, for example.
Exactly.
So from what you're telling us, Robert, what I gather from your explanations of the blockchain and the way that sites like Coinbase operate, and I find it interesting that you call them exchanges, because I think what is happening here, and correct me if I'm wrong or maybe expand on the thought, but I think what's happening is that we're seeing almost a transition in the paradigm of banking as far as our minds can comprehend banking. Because when I think of a site like Coinbase as the example, and I think about putting my Bitcoin or my Ethereum into Coinbase, I'm treating it as if it's a bank. I'm using it to store my currency. But on the other hand, you're mentioning about a wallet and having a local wallet installed on my computer, for example, and using those sites instead as a trade mechanism between currencies. Coinbase using fiat, which means I can use US dollars and my credit card to buy Bitcoin, for example, and then take that Bitcoin out of Coinbase, because we're using it just as a trade mechanism, and put it into my wallet. Am I right in that thought, that the paradigm is shifting as far as how we should be thinking about this in relation to banking?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly right. And it's the wallet is equal to the bank account now.
Okay. Yeah,
so if you've got, and you can have as many wallets as you want. You can have 100 wallets. They all cost nothing. Yeah, you get them free. Then you've got 100 bank accounts. So you become your own bank manager.
Okay. So can I move, can I, for example, take my wallet and back it up, have redundancy?
Yes, you can. I would be careful if the security is something that has to be taken very serious in this industry, because it's international. There is nobody really watching. There's nobody in charge. For example, Bitcoin, there's nobody in charge. You cannot call anybody. Mm-hmm. And so securing your wallet is really important, so it doesn't get hacked. I've seen so many examples of people even stealing your, if they know that you have got, let's invent a number, 1,000 Bitcoin, so that you've got a lot of money. Then they go to an extreme that I haven't seen before. They call the cell phone company and transfer the cell phone over to them so that they can access this special Google authorization, which is called the two-factor authentication, so that they can have access to your Coinbase account and just empty it. Seen it many times. Mm. That is nothing new. So one has to be really careful. So the best thing is for the layman is to have one of these wallets, the hardware wallets. Yeah, like Trezor and Ledger, those are the two big ones. Trezor is Trezor, and Ledger is like Ledger. They have got very small hardware units. With those, you can store many of the currencies, and they're safe. But nevertheless, you have to remember the passwords. You have to somehow write those down. So security is not an easy subject, and I would be always suggest everybody should be very careful about security.
Okay.
Yeah, not. I mean, don't leave, for example, things on the laptop when you know
right.
that there's an
Someone
internet
could steal
connection.
Steal my laptop. Yeah. Sasha, you have, or is it Jeff?
Yeah, I have one. So, I mean, just with what you know, you're talking about there, as far as, you know, somebody stealing your stuff. What legal protections are provided when it comes to cryptocurrency exchanges? Mm.
So, Robert, if somebody were to steal our cryptocurrency, is there any kind of legal way that we can combat that?
Nope.
For a limited time, get your hands on limited edition shirts from the Category 5 TV Network. These high-quality shirts are manufactured by Teespring, a fundraising website, and your purchase will help support the shows we produce. Get yours today and send us your pictures to be featured on the corresponding show. Visit cat5.tv/shirts to support us and get your official network shirt today. cat5.tv/shirts.
If somebody were to steal our cryptocurrency, is there any kind of legal way that we can combat that?
Nope. Not really. I mean, there might be examples in one or a few cases where that is the case where you've got a recourse, but that, like this case that I mentioned before where this apprentice cut off $150 million. If it was your money, sorry about that, you lost it. You were not in possession of the private keys, and therefore you lost $150 million. And there are ways, of course, theoretically, how to get that back through so-called forking, but let's not go down that road at the moment, because that
now
will
confuse
everybody.
We're getting way into the technical.
So the answer, clear answer is no, you don't have a way getting that back. Mm-hmm. There's no, I mean, it's like everybody says, okay, we'll then forbid trading in Bitcoin. It's not possible. Bitcoin is a protocol, it's software. There is no person behind it. You have got 100 developers. They are really good in what they're doing. They are leading edge developers. You've got the miners, that like the notaries that are securing the system, and you've got the users like you and me that are using the system. But that's it. There is no telephone number, no email address. You lost it, you lost it. And what also happened to me, I mean, all these exchanges, Coinbase, I think, is getting every day 50 to 100,000 additional users.
Wow.
And so support is really difficult. One day I lost my two-factor authentication. So it's like a separate password that you have on the mobile phone
yep.
that is changed every minute. That's two-factor authentication. And I lost that key.
Yikes.
And so I had to go through a process on the Coinbase website. And that took me at least 2-3 days to get through that, because it was telling me all the time, that's not you, that's not you, you need to send a different picture, because it's all fully automized. Yeah, another exchange, it took me about 3-4 weeks before I got an answer of a transaction that went wrong.
So
you're pretty much on your own in that sense.
Yeah, so we need to have a wallet set up offline that is our own, that we can keep safe. Or maybe
yes.
print the private key and then have it in a safe location. Jeff?
And with that, you know, the Foo just asked a question in the chat room. Is there a best practices document that people can follow? Like you've just said, you know, keeping it offline. If you're going to have your private keys, you don't want to store them on a computer that could get stolen, or put them on a cloud-based system that could get hacked. So what are some of those best practices you could follow, and is there a document that you could
read about? Are there resources, Robert, that would help us to follow good practices when it comes to keeping our cryptocurrency safe?
Yes, there is, although it can get a little complicated if you go to one of those currencies that nobody has heard of. Yeah, so there are 1,500 and the big wallets, they don't carry all those 1,500. They carry around 100 or so. Mm-hmm. So the best practice, number one, is keep your private key. If you don't have a private key, you don't have anything. The second one is there are some software wallets that you can choose, like Exodus. That's Exodus. And I think it's .io, but I'm not quite sure. They are very good. They are desktop based and Mac based. And then you've got those hardware wallets like Ethereum, like Ledger and Trezor. There might be one or two that are based on the cell phone, which I don't know because I don't use the cell phone for these purposes. Yep. That's what I would go for. There are different opinions out there of what means secure. And if you hear of those Bitcoin maximalists, so those are the ones that believe Bitcoin invented the hot water and that it will change the world for better. Mm-hmm. So those people, they are the opinion that you need to put the Bitcoin on the node, which is like the database of the ledger. I don't think that that's the case unless you have got really substantial amount of money. So when you start under $10,000, a wallet like Exodus, Ledger or Trezor, they're absolutely fine. I would not go further. What I would take care of if you do it online with the Exodus wallet, that you have got definitely some antivirus software also installed. If you don't have that, then just take the laptop offline so nobody can hack it.
Yeah, and encrypt your data or keep it behind a password or something like that, I think is really important as well.
And sorry that I interrupt you here. It's important also that if you do it on a desktop that you backed it up. There are also many people that where the computer crashed, which is normal, and then they lost everything. There was one that went even to the dump to look for his computer, Sasha, because he didn't do the backup.
Sasha just did
the
story.
One of my favorite stories to tell.
It's a tragedy. So this guy had the private keys on a hard drive that got thrown out. So we have to keep that safe. And I think that's why we hear the term paper wallet, which is somebody, I guess, just printing or writing down their private key and keeping it in a safety deposit box. So that if the worst came to worst, you could always recover your currency that way. So moving along from the technology and, I've got a better understanding, I feel, of the blockchain now, and I hope that our viewers feel the same. There are so many, you mentioned 1,500 plus different cryptocurrencies. What's that about? Like we hear Bitcoin, that's the buzzword. We know of Monero and Ethereum and Litecoin and Turtlecoin. What's happening here?
Yeah, it's a fast expanding market. 4 or 5 years ago, you had Bitcoin, and that's it. The Bitcoin had 100% market share. Today, Bitcoin has got around 40% market share.
Wow.
And in future, it will go down further because creating a coin or a token, which is more or less the same, is extremely simple. Yeah, it will take you 5 minutes to create your own coin. And that in itself will mean that there will be millions of coins available in the near future because everybody can create a coin without a big difficulty. Yeah, so the vast majority of those coins were coming through just people, geeks or so, inventing something and saying, oh, this we'll put on the blockchain now. We'll create a blockchain for this application, not really thinking it through.
I beg to differ because some have really got it down. Some are really doing a great job with altcoins.
Absolutely. I'm no question about it. And that's what I'm hooked on to this technology. But out of those 1,500, I would not give it more than 200 that are really serious companies that are able to achieve a goal. Mm-hmm. There are others that that just invented something to scam people. There are many of those. Yes. There are also many that just don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So somebody invented something and it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
The other thing that is happening now, it's going down a little bit, but it was the peak, is the so-called ICOs. It's a new way of funding a project. So instead of having a private investor, you go through an ICO. And just for people to make money, they invented ICOs right, left, and center. And that also created then coins so that they can be traded. And that usually goes down in price like nothing. Mm. So I would say maximum 200 coins that are in the market are really good projects that one could think of and really learn more about it.
Yeah, and I think that's an amazing stat to think that small of a percent is really worth investing time, investing money, investing resources in. And the whole idea behind cryptocurrency is that you hope that it's going to go up in value. That's not promised, but it's an interesting trend anyways. What do you see, just kind of looking forward to the future here, Robert, will we ever see cryptocurrency? You know, there's a lot of theories out there that, as you say, Bitcoin's going to take over, and there are these who believe in that. Do you think that we're ever going to see, for example, entire nations that are using cryptocurrency as their homeland currency?
Yes, I'm pretty sure that within 10 years, all larger currencies will be based on a blockchain.
Really?
It does make sense because it gives the government transparency. A huge flexibility is coming with that. So, for example, fractional reserve banking, which is an ugly way to make money, that can be all controlled in a much better way. So for central banks, they're all experimenting with blockchain technology already. So that will come. Wow. And that's one project also that I've invested in. But I know that Sweden is, for example, currently selecting this. Russia is doing that. So within 10 years, we'll have every currency on a blockchain. I'm pretty sure about that.
That's unreal.
Now, I have a question as far as, I mean, just a few minutes ago, you're talking about all the altcoins and how there's, you know, so many coins on the market. I don't know if this delves into your area of expertise, but if somebody wants to get into mining a cryptocurrency and all that, how do they know what's a legitimate coin and what is a fake coin? That's just somebody starting it up for the sake of starting it up to see if they could do it. Like, how, you know, if you're going to invest in it, how do you know where to put your resources?
That is an awesome question, because if you don't follow the basic guidelines, you will get burned. Yeah, I've lost a lot of money doing that. And why? Because there are pump and dump clubs out there, for example. So there's people that are pumping a coin, it goes up in price, and next day it falls down again. If you're not part of that club and you suddenly see a coin going up in value, you might think, oh, this is a coin that has got a great future. You invest in it, you lose money. So the most important thing is, if you're a beginner, if you're an absolute beginner, stay with the top 10 coins. There you're pretty safe. The volume is big, so you can trade them. There's liquidity, in other words, there's enough infrastructure like wallets and so on. Now, everybody will get into this, especially if the prices will go up again, which everybody is saying that's the case. We'll jump on this wagon of, oh, to the moon, or I want to have a Lambo or so. You've heard that. And that's where you get burnt if you're not careful. So if you want to invest in a coin, make sure that is a coin that is being traded to a specific volume so that there's liquidity. What do I mean by that? There are some coins where there's only one transaction per day. Yeah. So if you want to sell or you want to buy, you have to wait a long time until you can fulfill your orders. Mm. That's not good. Yeah. So that price will have a huge volatility regardless whether you like it or you don't like it. And then there are others where you should go onto the website, and the websites are visible to all the coins, and just check, are there any developers? Is there somebody doing work? How is the marketing concept? How is the concept as such? So if you don't start believing in this coin, I would not invest in it. It's like in a company. Yeah, it's if somebody comes and says, hey, I've got a great hot dog idea, then you, of course, want to learn more because there are thousands of hot dog ideas. So you learn more about it, what type of sausage are they using, the bun, all those things. And if you like the people, if you like the management, if you see that everything really works, that's what I would buy. Yeah, and don't make the mistake. There are, I don't know, at least 30 YouTube bloggers and that are talking about coins every single day. Mm. And they're saying, yeah, you have to go into this coin now because this coin will go to the moon. If you do that, I'm pretty sure you will lose your money. Because these people, everybody cooks with water. Nobody knows how the future is going to look like. Nobody knows how the price is going to be tomorrow. And there's a lot of volatility in there. There's a lot of scams in there. One of them, the biggest one recently, was BitConnect, which was a pyramid scheme. completely illegal in many countries, but it existed because nobody knew where the head office of that company was. A lot of people lost a lot of money. Some people made a lot of money. So be very careful where you invest your money. Yeah. So as a beginner, I would go for the big 10 coins and just stay there. Learn more about the technology. Learn what Bitcoin means. Get hooked on this year. I promise you that within a week you will love. If you're a little bit technology minded, within a week you'll love all this year. It's really simple. The surface is simple. It can go very complicated, but the surface is very simple. There's a lot of information on the internet, and you learn every step a little bit more.
Wow, a lot to take in tonight, Robert. My perspective is different as a miner as opposed to an investor.
Yes.
So when you talk about watching kind of the trends and everything else, like I'm mining what's easy to mine. So, I mean, we're talking coins that are 18 Satoshi and less. And so there's nowhere to go but up. And my risk is absolutely zero. So, you know, from a financial perspective, there's no risk there. But understanding, you know, what we can look for as, you know, if we were going to invest, that's excellent as well.
So. Well, risk zero is, I hear what you're saying, and I mean, you will not get rich by mining, but there's a risk because you have to keep the computer switched on 24 hours a day, so you're consuming electricity. Computers don't last forever, so the computer will break down after a period of time. That means you have the risk of buying a new computer, and you hope that including the money of the electricity, you made enough money with the mining. Mm-hmm. There are specialist mining equipments, but that's even worse. Mm. Yeah, so it all comes down on the quantity and also the electricity that the mining costs. So if the electricity costs in your area are above 10 cents, then it is already a borderline of being profitable. And the technology moves so fast that it is difficult to keep up with the hardware technology.
Yeah, but it can be fun. It can be a lot of fun, can it?
Absolutely. I recommend it just to learn how this thing works. Download a node. Yeah, and take a Bitcoin. Don't do Ethereum because Ethereum is a little bit, it's not working correctly. But if you take the Bitcoin node, you need, to, of course, a big hard drive, and you run. And you just learn that, so it's fun, and just can't start mining. Yeah, build your own mining rig, but you need to know about IT to do so. It's not that simple.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Where can people, you know, as we wrap up our discussion today, Robert? Where can people get more information about the technology? Where I mean, we can get into Google, and there are a million different results for finding out more information about the blockchain. Where should we go?
Yeah, there's one magazine that's called Cointelegraph. So if you Google cointelegraph.com and then Bitcoin for Beginners, they have got a good section of what this technology is about. I would definitely go onto YouTube and search for Blockchain 101 or Bitcoin for Beginners and just watch as many YouTube videos as you want and as you can. There will be some explanations where even I don't understand a word of what they're saying. Just switch that off and search the next one. So I would do a lot of YouTube videos, and I would definitely go and open an account on Coinbase or any of these other exchanges that exist just to learn it.
Get started.
I mean, Bitcoin, the nice thing, I mean, with US or Canadian dollar, you've got 10 cents or 1 cent is the smallest unit. In Bitcoin, it goes several digits behind the comma. So you can, with two or three Canadian dollars, you can buy a portion of a Bitcoin.
Right.
And with that, you start learning and see what this industry is about. Yeah, we didn't go into any examples of what outside of the currency market is possible, but that's where the big music will play in future. Yeah, so just to give two examples, one is with banks. You touched on that before. Mm-hmm. At the moment, or no, let's say 20 years ago, if you went to your branch manager at your local bank and you asked for a loan, that branch manager could take the decision whether they would give you the loan or not. Today, they just fill out a form.
Right.
They send that form to head office or some central place. They take the decision. That in future will all be automated through a blockchain.
Mm.
Yeah, so people need to be aware of that.
Interesting.
That all this decision making is linked to a blockchain. It's called smart contracts. That's what Ethereum is about, NEO, EOS, and so on. they incorporate this intelligence attached to the chain. What does that mean? Banks is jobs. But if, for example, you want to buy a Gucci wallet, then today you don't know if it's made in China, it's a fake one. You have got no clue because we're not experts in Gucci wallets. Mm-hmm. But in future, you'll have a little sticker in there with you scan it with your cell phone and it will tell you exactly in which factory it was developed. Food, the same. Yeah, papayas. If you want to buy papayas and you want to make sure that they're really organic, then at the moment you have to trust wherever you buy the fruit from. But in future, you can scan that code and you know exactly that where they came from and if they're original or not. Those are just a few examples of what will be possible with this technology. Wow. Yeah, so we're basically back to where the internet was 20 years ago, where the only thing you knew is HTML and it looked horrible. And then suddenly Amazon came up with offering books and you tried after a few months to a book and it was delivered and you were happy. And now we do everything through the internet. And blockchain is a similar one because you remove completely the trust layer. I don't have to trust you anymore. I know that I have got this thing in my hand.
It's proof.
And therefore it's mine. I've got the private key. That's it. So all these things, that's what will come. And that's why this is so exciting.
It is a lot to get our heads around. I know I'm feeling it for my viewers tonight, but I'm understanding how we're able to now use the blockchain to authenticate goods through cryptography, because we're talking extremely secure cryptography that cannot be replicated or emulated or faked. And that's exciting. Robert, I appreciate your time very, very much tonight. Thank you for joining us. How can we find you? How can we give a shout out to you?
The easiest way to get hold of me is through the company that I currently have, which is Centavo. It's Xentavo. So it's like the Spanish cent. Yeah, the Spanish cent is Centavo with a C at the beginning. Our word starts with an X. It's Centavo.com. And then you just send an email and I'll be reachable. So if anybody of your audience has got any questions, because I know we went through a lot tonight and I'm sorry about that, but I think those were important things. So if somebody wants to have a little bit more information, just send me an email. I'm happy to answer those.
What you've done tonight, Robert, is you've taken a lot of complicated concepts, compressed them into a 40-minute interview here and said, you know, this can make sense. We may have to watch it back a couple times, but we may be able to get our heads around some of these technologies. And for that, I appreciate it very, very much. Thank you for joining us tonight.
It's an honor, and thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Robert. Have a good night.